Hello, future floaters. This is Stefan Lawson, Coastal Noise Podcast, episode number 40. Yesterday, I sat down with the owner of NOLA Float Tanks and talked all about sensory deprivation chambers. Now, on the podcast, we haven't really talked much about float tanks. I think I talked to Levi Wall on an airplane flying over to Denver, Colorado to couch surf a couple episodes back. It's probably in the 20s or so. And maybe in passing conversation one or two other times, but we really haven't dived into it a great deal, which is unusual for how much float tanks have been an important part of my life in the last 5 years. I've been researching them and studying them and getting to know all about them and spending a couple hours in them from time to time. But the thing is that there aren't many of these devices around. They're more in larger cities. The first time I went, I had to drive 6 hours to Tucker, Georgia. And then another time I was in Portland, Oregon, and was able to float there. And then there was one in Denver, Colorado that I wanted to get into, but I couldn't at the time. Let me just go ahead and explain what they are, because when we recorded the episode, I came in and Spencer's the owner, we immediately just started riffing. We just started chatting, which is something that I've found is very common of people who float a lot. You know, it's kind of like an inside club. So I came in and started putting the equipment together, and we're talking the whole time, and we just hit record and we're just off to the races. So we were kind of mid-conversation halfway into it before, you know, I realized it'd probably be best to explain what they are. So I'm just going to give you a quick rundown now. What flotation tanks are, or sensory deprivation chambers, or rest chambers, as they are sometimes popularly called, they're these devices created in 1954 by a neuropsychologist named John C. Lilly. And there are these big chambers, you know, they're of all different sizes, but what you do is you get into these big tanks, and they have 10 inches of water, and they're soundproof, they're lightproof, and you close the door, and there's 800 pounds of Epsom salt, so it makes it very buoyant, so therefore you float on your back. And it creates an environment that completely shuts out the outside world. You know, your ears are under the water, and you just float there. The water and the skin temperature, the water and the air temperature are the same as your skin temperature. And after just a few minutes laying in the darkness, you can't really tell where the water begins and where it ends if you're just laying there. And it's just an extreme relaxation tool. It rejuvenates your mind. It creates an atmosphere where your brain waves will go from alpha, beta to theta, which are associated with deep levels of sleep and are also typically found in individuals who are very experienced at meditation. In this environment, your brain releases endorphins, which are the body's natural pain reliever. It suppresses cortisol, which is associated with stress. Your muscles and your bones decompress and elongate. I did a lot of movement while I was in my tank for this session. You just come out feeling very relaxed, very at ease. And if you get really good at just laying there and letting go, you can have very vivid imagery in your mind. You have your thoughts sort of come to life in new ways. You don't fall asleep. You remain conscious, but you can have these kind of visuals where you forget where you are, and in your mind wanders to new places, and your thoughts become so vivid you can see them in new ways. It's a lot of people use them for creative purposes, for problem solving, because there's so little that your brain has to process now in this environment that it kind of goes into new realms that you're not used to in your normal day life, because there's so many distractions that we have in our day-to-day life. But in the chamber, you don't have to experience those things. So your mind kind of goes on vacation in very interesting ways. After you listen to the episode, if this sounds like something you might be interested in trying, and believe me, you will want to try it, you can go to the Coastal Noise Facebook page, you can go to my Facebook page, Stefan Lawson, and any post that you see for Coastal Noise Podcast episode number 40 with no float tanks. It'll say, give you a prompt to share it. If you share it, then you will be entered the chance to get an extra hour of float, so a two-for-one deal, if you will. And trust me, that's a way to go. You can float for an hour and get all the benefits and feel really good, but if you really want to get into the meat of it, I would suggest a two-hour float. So if you go and just give us some shares around, and of course, likes are a great thing. If you wish to go and visit NOLA Float Tanks, you can like them, you can like Coastal Noise, all that good stuff. We'll have all the information to different links so that you can see more and learn more about NOLAFloatTanks.com. I'm very excited that this business is here now. It's a big deal for New Orleans and a big deal for the southern region in general. So I hope you will listen, and I hope you give them a visit. This is Coastal Noise Podcast, episode number 40.
Podcast where we figured out life, you know? We knew that the aliens had come and why humans existed and everything, and lost it all a bad, just trying to figure out still how the equipment worked.
And that's all right, we can figure that out again today if you want.
Well, I may very well do that by the time I get out of that tank.
When's the last time you got in one?
I was couch surfing in Denver, Colorado, and they had one there nearby to where I was staying, and I wanted to get in real bad, but the flight, I actually wrote a blog about this. I had my flight ticket and all, and then I got there I was too late, basically. Well, the traffic was real bad and all this kind of stuff, and they wouldn't let me on the plane. So I had to decide if I was going to leave and come back 2 days later and they would give me a different flight, or if I was just going to pay another $400 for a different flight. So I just paid $400 for a different flight. So I was already set back before I even got into Denver. I was broke.
Yeah, wow.
So I basically told my host about it, because he was real into meditation and yoga and all this kind of stuff. And he just wanted to check him out. So I didn't get to do it there, but last time was Portland, Oregon. Mm-hmm. And for the float conference and all that kind of stuff. So very interesting that you were, that you made that out too. Mm-hmm. And did it there.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
Got to be educated on it.
Yeah. And there's a lot to be educated on. There's a lot.
Yes. There's a lot to know, and there's also a lot not to know.
What's not to know? What would you mean by that?
It's hard to explain. You got to know it, and then you got to forget it.
Yeah.
You can't be thinking about a lot of stuff in there. Just blank slate. Mm. Let it go.
Mm. Salt management is one thing that I've worried about a lot. If I ever had my own tank.
Salt management?
Mm-hmm.
That actually is kind of a big concern. That's what the main point of this year's float conference was, is that salt kills everything.
Mm-hmm. Yep, which it does. Mm-hmm. That was the theme of last year, or the year I went, it seemed like.
Yeah, it's a pretty relevant theme. I can imagine that gets tossed around a lot over there.
Mm-hmm.
They have one of the best setups I've seen, though, in terms of keeping everything contained. That it's tiled in the room, got tile showers right in front of the float tank, so you only have to literally take a step into the tank from the shower. Mm-hmm. And that minimizes cleanup time. I wish I could have had a setup more ideal like that, but just doing with what I got at the moment.
Mm-hmm. So how long have you been in operation here?
Since January of 2014. This is my 9th month operating.
Very cool.
10th now, or in October.
And how has it been going? Do you get a lot of people come in? Is it repeat customers? Is it people who are new to it?
It's both. It's still kind of just still catching on in terms of, one, the industry in general, and then two, people finding out about it. So we're getting a lot of new customers just because, everyone is almost a new customer at this point, and of the people who come, I would say about 70 to 80% are coming back.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Well, hopefully, you know, you get more other people that might spring up or something in the area, because New Orleans is a pretty big area for it to just be one place. And one of the things I kept saying at the float conference is it's not a bad thing when someone else shows up in the neighborhood, because then it just educates more people talk about it. And this is one of those things that it pretty much, shall we say, sells itself. I mean, people... You tell people about this. I mean, I just told a couple people that I work around about these things, that I was going to do this podcast and all this stuff. And everybody's like, what is, you know, you say sensory deprivation tank, and they're like, what are you talking about? So then you start talking about it, and I get excited every time I talk about it.
Absolutely.
And by the end of it, you know, they're like, the two questions you always get is, how much does it cost and where can I do it?
Exactly.
And, you know, for the longest time, I was telling him, well, you can go 6 hours that way to Georgia, or you can go 8 hours that way to Houston.
That's right.
And there was nothing else. But now in New Orleans and Metairie, there's one here. And so, you know, a lot of people were excited about that when I started telling them that. And then, you know, when they asked about how much it was, the few people that I've told in the last week about it after, you know, telling them about this podcast and all, we're blown away that it wasn't like hundreds of dollars to get into these space age chambers.
It is. I mean, like I said, there's such few locations around that most places that do operate are charging around 120 per hour just to get in the tanks. And they usually want to couple it with some sort of personal consultation where you sit down and talk with the owner, whoever's operating the tanks, for an hour, talk about your experience, and then again, sit with them for another hour after they get out. So my prices are pretty reasonable at this point. And that's what I mean. I'm trying to keep it just available to anyone who wanted to come try it. Not that I was looking to be a personal therapist or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think that's why I can get away with kind of the rates that I got at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have a degree in psychology, and I always thought that that'd be an interesting marriage of having counseling with floating sessions. Mm-hmm.
Yep, there's a lot of good combos. I'm actually just got a massage person on board. His name's Alec Gilchrist, and he does traditional Thai massage, and he's going to be working in the back room. I got starting on weekends, and then based on customer demand, possibly more often.
Mm. Yeah, massages are a big thing. Massages and the stone therapy stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and those the traditional Thai works well with the float tanks, because you don't really need any type of essential oils or anything like that. You do it fully clothed, no massage table or anything like that, and he kind of just maneuvers you around. So took me a while to finally get a good marriage with it, but that seems to be kind of a good partnership that we got going at the moment. Hopefully that continues to grow.
Are you the only owner? Do you have a partner that you're...
Nope, it's just me at the moment. I do have a couple potential investors on board waiting to pull the trigger when it gets to that point.
Yeah. Very cool. You were talking about, you know, the Thai massages and being fully clothed. That's an interesting comment in regards to what we're talking about, because there's two things that always seem to come up about float tanks that people are a little iffy about. And one is the fact that you don't have to, but it's highly recommended that you float without clothes in the tank, because it's all about sensory deprivation. And people don't realize, you know, when you're talking about sensory deprivation, you can, I guess we should explain what these things are to begin with.
I was also going to say, it's not always about the sensory deprivation. People go in there for different reasons, which is why I just have decided not to kind of market towards one way or the other. I'm sure you've done research on it, and being a musician yourself, musicians will go in there and they'll listen to certain pitches, like a G sharp, D flat, C minor kind of deal, and then that way they'll refine their musical ear so that when they get out, they can kind of tune their instruments and just be more creative out of the tank. Mm-hmm. So it's not always about the full sensory deprivation aspect as much as it is just floating in general is kind of beneficial in terms of spinal decompression and loosening and maneuvering the joints. And you can do that in a swimsuit. You can do that naked, just however people are most comfortable and depending what they wanted to get out of it.
Mm-hmm. Let's give people the rundown right now of exactly what they are and what they're used for before we dive in too much about everything else that we've talked about.
All right, so continuing with our discussion that we were having kind of before we got this all set up, they were originally developed by John Lilly. He was a neuroscientist back in the 50s, and he was studying what happens to the brain in response to no stimulus, a brain such as Helen Keller, someone who's born deaf and blind. How does that alter brain waves and development in terms of sensory input? If there's nothing really going in those input areas, how does that affect the brain? And so the sensory deprivation tank is the closest replication to that type of situation that we can put a healthy individual in and restrict their sight, sound, sense of smell, all those kind of sensory impulses. And so basically what it does is almost tricks the body into thinking that it's asleep, and without any of these kind of sensory impulses, the body starts going to rest, and that puts the brain in the theta wave state, which is
associated with like
deep sleep. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And
and high levels of meditation.
Mm-hmm. And also puts your brain to start producing DMT, which is this dream chemical that makes you dream. So that's why a lot of people can have lucid visions and things of that nature in the tank. Mm-hmm. Naturally.
Because you float in these things. That's one very crucial aspect about it, is there's 800 pounds of salt in these things.
That's right. And not just ordinary salt. Now we got Himalayan pink salt and Dead Sea salts that people fly all across the world to go float in these, and they're right here in people's backyards now.
Yeah, that's very cool. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Just did that change this past Tuesday. Drained the tanks a full 3 months ahead of schedule, cleaned, scrubbed them out, and filled them up with reverse osmosis water. So there's no fluoride from the city tap water and any other pollutants that might be in city kind of water supplies. So we ran it through those reverse osmosis filtration and then had those Himalayan pink salts flown in.
Mm. Very cool. And some of the benefits of float tanks are really interesting, of just what happens to the brain when it's put into that environment. Rest, restricted environmental stimulus treatment, as it's been popularly called, can result in lots of endorphins being released from the brain, which are the body's natural pain relievers. Research is suggesting that cortisol can be suppressed, which is hugely associated with stress. And then, of course, we mentioned the theta waves and all these kinds of things. All are just really, I mean, almost alien when you talk about it, what these things are. And it's so weird to think they've been around for almost, or they have been around for over half a century.
Mm-hmm.
1950s. Yeah. And the first tanks, the vertical tanks, were where we are now is leaps and bounds where it began, because it used to be vertical tanks where you would float in these stand-up tanks, and there would be, you'd have a helmet on and like a suit of some sort.
It was like a harness keeping you strapped to the helmet and mm-hmm. suspended in the tank. I don't think they were using salts at that point.
No, I don't think so either.
And then that's when John Lilly made that jump to the horizontal tank. He was trying to figure out how you would float in it. And then that's when he heated it up to the body temperature and was able to put the salts in it to keep you suspended in the solution horizontally instead of those vertical tanks that were popular from Altered States. Mm-hmm. That was a movie back in the 1980s. Kind of was the first, the Joe Rogan, I guess, of float tanks back in the 80s, letting people know about it. That I don't want to say too much about people who haven't seen it, but turns into a caveman at the end of the movie. Which
yeah.
is one of my favorite parts.
Yeah. When you describe it, like, it takes me like 2 sentences to like sum up the whole movie. It's like a scientist is trying to figure out whatever the hell he was trying to figure out, and eventually turns into an ape and runs around causing only what I can describe as monkey mayhem.
Yeah.
It's basically the movie. He sees some like major de-evolution visions and
just reverts back to his primal ancestry.
Mm-hmm.
Blows up full on caveman and runs into a zoo.
I don't know if it's a good movie or not, but it's definitely there.
It's an awesome movie. I'd recommend everyone interested in float tanks in this podcast would check it out.
For sure, for sure. So why don't you tell people what your original experience with floating is, how you kind of came to discover it?
So I've been floating back in eighth grade, I guess, before I even knew or what the concept of floating was, just in my pool in the backyard. I couldn't necessarily float, but I would just hold my breath and kind of just go to the bottom of a pool and just go limp or just wiggle around or whatever kind of stuff. And then I was thinking, you know, it'd be really awesome if I could just breathe underwater and be able to be weightless and just move around like that. And, you know, kind of put that thought to the side for a little bit. And then back in high school, was on a rugby trip. And the coach wouldn't let us go get alcohol. And then so I was on the hotel computer of the lobby that we were staying at. And I was looking up these ways to kind of just mess with your brain and stuff like that, just from household kind of stuff. And that's when I first came across the sensory deprivation aspect of it, in terms of restricting your sight and your sound kind of situation. And then so what that does from the full sensory deprivation, because, you know, we talked a little bit about what floating is and what it can do, but in terms of full-on sensory deprivation, what that causes is when it puts it's putting your body to sleep because there's no sensory impulses. But before that can happen, your brain is awake and there's nothing to perceive. So your brain starts almost hallucinating and showing you just visions, or you'll start having memories, start thinking about different things, past experiences in your life. And so that's what people mean when they see like visions and stuff in there, that your brain just starts creating stuff for you to visualize because you're bored when you're sitting in there and you want something to do. So your brain just starts creating these different lucid scenarios for you to go through. Mm-hmm. And so I came across that on the hotel computer. It was the sensory deprivation aspect. The first experiment was like you take a ping pong ball and you would cut that in half and you put that each half over your eyelids. And you sit there listening to static or white noise type of deal. And so it was like me and four or five members of our rugby team. We got coffee cups from the hotel lobby and just had those on our faces. We turned the TV to a non-channel, like 96 or something, and turned that up all the way on the volume. And we're just sitting there with these cups on our faces and
laying around.
And then our other friend came in because he heard the noise coming from down the hall that we had the static so loud, and he was coming to check in on us, and he opens the door and we're all just laying there with these coffee cups on our faces, and he's like, what the hell is going on in here? And it was like some type of cult scenario. And so that's when I got the sensory deprivation aspect of it, because I was floating in eighth grade, and then I found out what the mind or the mind-altering side of it was later in high school. And then it wasn't till after college that I found what I know as sensory deprivation or float tanks, and put those two together. I was listening to a Joe Rogan podcast and heard about it, then looked it up and did some independent research on it, found out that it was used as a alternate treatment for ADD, which I was diagnosed with when I was little, and felt that I should just go try that, and drove 5 hours to Houston, like you were mentioning, and got my 1 hour float in, came back to New Orleans, and was like, man, I wish I could do that more often than just driving to Houston every now and then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you. What is it like as an owner of a float center, like having the freedom to float whenever you would like?
People would think it's that easy, but it's really not. Like I just mentioned, we did all those renovations this week. Mm-hmm. I was up till almost 2 a.m. every night draining these tanks and refilling them, because that salt takes a while to dissolve in there. Mm-hmm. It's probably still a little grit in there at the moment, but it should be dissolved and good to go by the time this podcast gets uploaded. And I get to get in maybe once or twice a week, which I guess is more often than most people will get to conventionally get into them. But, you know, it's not all peaches and cream. It's the stress of running a business as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I'll bet getting it after you get out of it, it helps, you know?
Oh, absolutely. It helps anybody, not just business owners.
Yeah. Well, you're still, you know, you said you're relatively new to it, and I know getting started with a business takes a lot of time, so, you know, hopefully one day you'll have everything kind of smoothed out and you can take the time to enjoy it a little bit more.
That's right.
You already seem like a super mellow dude.
Well, I'm living the dream right now, doing what I love and helping other people. What else can you ask for?
Yeah. So how many times did you float in an actual tank before you were like, you know what, I'm going to open it?
Just the one.
Just one?
And a lot of float owners actually.
Well, shit, I should talk. I'm in the same boat.
Well, yep. A lot of float owners are in exactly the same situation.
Mm-hmm.
They know it's something they want to do more often than just one-time deal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually, you know, a big part of it as well is that you're supposed to kind of shut off when you're in there. And the first time that you go to do it, your body is registering kind of all these new impulses that's going on. Because if you haven't floated before, your body has no idea what that feels like. So before you can kind of shut off your senses, your body has to take in these new adjustments that it's making in being in total darkness and, you know, body temperature water. So that's a new experience for a lot of people, especially first doing it. So it's hard to shut off and get as deep as we were talking about as far as visuals and, you know, the full-on sensory deprivation aspect of that, because it's a new process people are learning. It's hard to shut off everything when you're doing something for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So future visits are highly recommended, and, you know, especially if you didn't quite get it or per mm-hmm. se for the first visit, that it's definitely a 2 or 3 time you got to get adjusted to it type situation.
Yeah. I would say it's a lot like actual meditation of Zazen. You know, you have to actually sit there. I mean, people, if you go and you're just like, I'm going to meditate, and you just sit down, well, you're going to move around, you're going to fidget, and you're going to breathe hard and all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. You're not going to pay any attention to your breath or your oneness of the mind or any of these kinds of things. And your legs are going to go to sleep. You're not going to be able to do any kind of half lotus, full lotus, whatever have you. And you're just going to fall out of it like 10, 15 minutes in. And you just be like, my legs hurt and I feel dumb for wasting time. But it's a thing that you have to, like, you got to go back to the mat every day, you know, and really try to get good at it.
Teach your body to do it. Right. And that's one thing is, I tried like meditating, but just like cloud watching kind of stuff. And I really have not felt anything close to what being in the float tank for the first time did for me.
Mm-hmm.
Once I did that, it was almost forced meditation, to where you're saying, like, you know, it's hard to kind of sit still the first time and actually meditate. You're too busy fidgeting and doing around other kind of stuff that you don't really pay attention to what meditation really is.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're in a float tank, you really have no choice but to kind of meditate. And then once I experienced that, it was like, oh, this is what I was supposed to have been doing all those times. I was just like sitting cross-legged, you know,
mm-hmm.
like it finally clicked. Instead of just went from the idea and, you know, the knowledge of what meditating is to actually being able to apply it and knowing mm-hmm. how to do it.
Yeah. It's like a fast track for meditation and all those kinds of things. I mean, what it does to your brain in terms of the different hemispheres that are activated, and people will go in with problems that they're thinking about with their work or their creative endeavors that they'll just kind of have on their mind. They'll go in, be thinking about it for a little bit, and then just kind of let it go.
Sorry.
And then the tank takes care of the rest. And from that experience, the subconscious mind gets, you know, kind of picked at while you're just sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people come out with a whole new perspective on whatever mm-hmm. it is that they were looking at.
That's exactly right. And, I mean, I know it sounds a little bit metaphysical for most people to kind of get in tune with, that their subconscious is going to be unwinding and they're going to be cured of all these negative emotion thoughts kind of stuff. But again, just talking about that in the real world application of it, what I find to be true for me being in the tank is that, you know, talking about bringing the subconscious to awareness is, you know, just little stuff from personal life kind of stuff is like, oh, if you got like neck pain or something, you wouldn't necessarily sit and think about that. Like, why do I have this neck pain or whatever? But when you're in the float tank, you're like, oh man, that's because like I lug my heavy briefcase around all day and I'm swinging it around like a wild man.
Mm-hmm.
And my movement patterns are all messed up from that. And that's what I mean. It just forces you to take a closer look at your life to see what might be causing those problems from the inside out. That, that's where people can have those spiritual and just revelations in terms of their behavior and
mm-hmm.
their entire life changing.
Yeah. And there are so many little factors that people don't even realize, because they get into that routine of their workforce or their family life, whatever it is that forces them to go at a certain rate. So your gears are running, 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 and you're doing these things. Just like a little thing like a briefcase, like you were saying. I mean, that's something that nobody thinks about because it's like, well, I got to have my briefcase.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not
how else I'm going to get it there?
Yeah.
Like, bounce it on my head? I don't think so.
So, I mean, just from that, and then you get to work and you're running around, you're trying to like get everything done as quick as you can because time is money and productivity has to be at this and all this kind of stuff. And then, you know, you just that rate at which you move creates that certain, like a little stress, you know, it creates a little stress that goes to, and it might not even be mental. It'll go to different parts of your body to just kind of like tense you up and stuff, mm-hmm. you know, whereas you're not really thinking, you know, I should relax or, you know, my back isn't as straight. My spine, you know, I could stand up a little taller if I thought about it, you know, and then you start hearing your back pop and you're like, well, shit, oh, that proves my point right there. You know,
exactly.
I should sit down and do some more yoga or something like that, you know, smell the roses. But people just kind of go and go. And then eventually they say, well, you know, I know it's hectic, but I'm going to take a vacation in 6 months, you know. And all in one. And then they go and they get drunk in the Bahamas and, you know, they do that for like a week or whatever. They sit out on the beach and then they come back and they're just in the grind again. And yeah. I recently saw some research where they were saying that regular float sessions of like 40 minutes with this group of like 140 people they did, I think maybe Sweden or something like that. And they said that the results after regular use showed that it was the equivalent of taking like a good week's vacation or something like that. But they Absolutely. Had the option of doing it, you know, anytime they got into the tank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A popular equation is that like 1 hour in the tank is about 8 hours of sleep. So being in the tank kind of rejuvenates you to that extent. And in terms of, you know, what you just said about working for 6 months and then going on a 2 week vacation, it's, again, like condensing that down to like an hour long scale. So like you work 6 months, you would go on a 2 week vacation. Think about that on the scale of a week, that you'd work 6 days out of the week and then you'd have your 1 day to kind of come do your body maintenance type of work and just rest and relaxation. So instead of having to wait 6 months to go to the Bahamas, you can do that in the float tank once a week. And it's kind of a similar mini vacation that you can kind of go anywhere mm-hmm. Once you get a hold of
The practice,
and
get used to letting go.
Right? It's just as stress relieving as a trip to the Bahamas or mm-hmm. something like that, Disney World, that you wouldn't have to think about anything. Like all your amenities have been taken care of,
mm-hmm.
type of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you're basically focusing instead of putting ourselves into situations where we're like dependent on external stimulus affecting how we feel, how our moods are, you know, this is like the ultimate form of internal insight.
It is. It's a complete body scan because if there's nothing else for you to think about when you're in there except, you know, the position of your body and what you're faced with, then that's, of course, all that you're going to be able to be confronted with.
Mm-hmm.
And, a lot of people don't realize that it's physically beneficial just as much as mentally in terms of stress relief, because the same way that, you know, our minds hold on to negative thoughts and emotions and hold grudges against other people, our bodies hold on to previous trauma that we've experienced earlier in our lives. So again, like a real world example of that is if you're little and, you know, you're getting yelled at by your parents and, you know, you're kind of tensing up and, you know, your body just has an instantaneous reaction to flinch in terms of any type of conflict or competition scenario. So that's why people choke and freeze up, is because their bodies are holding on to, you know, those fears and impulses that, you know, they had when they had a bad experience doing something. And so they don't want that bad outcome to happen again. And they have those moments of not being in the moment where they're mm-hmm. visualizing or thinking about something else, thinking that they're not going to succeed instead of being with whatever action that they're doing, and it causes them to choke and misconstrue what they're trying to do. So what the float tanks do also is, like, again, they help you search where you kind of developed that behavior of repressing that. And so you can work through body trauma as much as emotional trauma being in there. And mm-hmm. that's why I like the example of the altered states guy becoming a caveman, because when I'm in there, that's what I feel like I'm really doing. Is like I'm really like bursting out like a shell of a body that I've gotten. I'm about to unleash something primal underneath, and that's why he again turns into just a ball of energy at the end of the movie. It just dissolves his human form altogether. And as my friends there know, I'm fond of saying, this isn't my final form. That's going to be on my my gravestone when I die. This wasn't my final form, like from Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
And they're always just evolving into their next Super Saiyan 2, 4.
See, when we talk about stuff like this, and especially if you talk about altered states, like a lot of people are really interested in it, but they're also there's like an intensity to it that people kind of get, the claustrophobia factor is something that I've noticed that stops a lot of people, that makes them wonder.
And that's also because of that, you know, that movie that's been only most of people's only interaction with it on the media type basis is that they've only seen those vertical tanks and kind of stuff that he's had in the movies. And it looks like a sketchy confined type of deal. But you know, most of the float tank centers around the areas, like, you know, we even mentioned Float On has that open cubicle, like a 7x7 type deal where there's no roof on it. You don't have to have a glass helmet over your head. You can leave the doors open the whole time if you want. It's actually really good for getting over claustrophobia because you know that you can get out at any time.
Yeah.
It just helps build more control. And that's where, again, those emotional and physical traumas coming in is not feeling empowered. And that's what float tanks are the best at, is feeling empowered. And that's what I was saying, is that, you know, you got to know and you got to forget at the same time. That you just got to know that you're able to handle it.
Yeah. And I kind of understand with them. And like from my first time, I mean, I had researched these things for years. I was so ready to get in there. And then when I finally got to the first float center and the lady was like, all right, well, here you go. And she opened that door and the heat came out. I was like, oh, okay.
Right.
Let's do this, I guess. And then, you know, I got in there and I laid down and I kept the door open for about a minute. And then I was like, all right. And I reached down and I let it kind of fold in. I think it was an Oasis tank. And then I laid in there and it went, you know, pitch black. I reached my hand up, I pushed the door open and it came open real easy. I closed it again. I felt the walls around me. I was like, all right. And then I was fine, you know, 5 minutes in. I don't think anybody would really have a problem. And like you said, you can float with the door open if you really wanted to.
And I got light options. Most tank centers have lights inside the tanks as well at this point, that someone could leave the light on, the door open, just basically however they wanted to do it. Because again, it's not always about the full sensory deprivation aspect of it, because the floating itself has beneficial properties, and you know, listening to stuff in the tank or however you wanted to use it.
Yeah. A lot of people, you know, can treat it just like it's like when you take a hot bath from a hard day's work, you know, but this is like next level hot bath. But going back to what you're saying about, you know, listening to music or whatever else, I'm really interested in what people are going to do in the future with enhanced learning, advanced forms of education. You know, I think I've heard Crash from, what's his company's name? Is it
Float Lab?
Float Lab. Creating tanks that have screens that are without edges. They're just seamless screens so that it's your entire vision with like speakers there. That'd be a hell of a way to watch your favorite movie.
Yeah, I was going to say, and he's doing like light therapy in the tanks as well, because the same way that we were talking about, I mean, I don't know that we had this on the podcast earlier, but just syncing the hemispheres of the brain in the float tank with the light therapy and the vibration therapy is also doing is reprogramming certain wavelengths and putting your brain to start a new pattern of doing things instead of constantly being stuck in the same routine. So those light patterns are just like fractals and geometric patterns kind of designed to just increase productivity and unleash your genetic potential.
Very cool. I'm curious to just see what all kind of different things. I know that some people pump oxygen, fresh oxygen into the tanks.
Flavored oxygen would be nice.
That'd be cool. Yeah. And I don't know. There's just so many different ways that it could be taken to the next level. Of course, technology is going to get so ridiculous. Who knows in the future? You might get into your tank one day and then come out and it's a couple thousand years into the future. And you're like, oh, no.
You're frozen in a block of ice, David Blaine style.
Yep. Hmm. I got into the cryo chamber by mistake.
Rumpelstiltskin. Yeah. Well, thank you for having me today, Stefan. Is that how you say it, Stefan?
Stefan.
Yeah. All right.
Tell people where they can go to check out more about it and schedule appointments and all that.
Yeah, I was going to say there's a lot of information all across the web. We do have some information available on our website, which is www.nolafloattanks.com. Also on my Facebook and Instagram and Twitter page.
Cool. All right, man. Well, I appreciate the fact that you're just here. I think that's awesome. Yeah. And I hope y'all have lots of success in the future.
Thank you.
So, Coastal Noise, thanks for listening, everybody. Goodbye.
Get your float on.
All day, every day.
Yeah, that was smooth.